So we got a great email, as we usually do, from one of our listeners. This is from Chrissy from Kansas City. And by the way, in her signature, she put hashtag balls, hashtag Harry's tiny balls, hashtag Governor DeSantis. Only she probably said, Governor DeSantis.
You know she did that. And then she's purring. She's still purring.
She totally purred. So she writes that she watches us every day during her morning run. And as she was planning for Christmas, she said this went a couple weeks ago or so. Yeah, she said, as I was planning for Christmas, the idea came to me that I could cover my entire family in My Pillow towels. Towels for you, towels for you, towels for everyone.
You get a towel. You get a towel. I love it.
She said, I logged on to mypillow.com/chicks and used the code and purchased 8 sets of towels for $39 each. The items were purchased on a Monday and I had them by Wednesday. No supply chain issues with Mike Lindell.
That's right. All you guys have to do is go to mypillow.com and click on the radio listener specials for specials like 40% off all my slippers and 50% off My Pillow mattress toppers. Are you getting this?
Hello.
Enter promo code chicks or call 800-875-0513 for great My Pillow specials. Fantastic, really. They're not just great. They're fantabulous. That's 800-875-0513. Use promo code chicks at checkout. Save now, just in time for giving the ultimate gift in comfort and awesomeness with the best deals of the year on all the My Pillow products.
Do it.
Frederick Douglass expected a lot of Lincoln because Lincoln had so much promise. He was so different. And when you expect a lot from somebody, well, it's a friend or a relative, and they let you down, you take it twice as hard. I watched The Housewives. I know. With this variant, now I'm getting word that we got to break up the show. We're going to be in 3 separate locations, even in the same building.
Because of Omicron? It's a cold.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's another great week of the Chicks on the Right podcast. Very special guest today, Brian Kilmeade, who you may know from such things as being a Fox and Friends host, being the host of the Brian Kilmeade Show, basically being on TV like 9 hours a day. We don't know how you do this, and we're going to ask you that later, but also an author, multi-time author, and most recently the author of The President and the Freedom Fighter, Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, and the Battle to Save America's Soul. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, we'll let you tell us about your book first and foremost, because we want our audience to know what they can expect to learn about Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass and the relationship that they had from your book.
Well, okay. I appreciate that. So I've been writing history books, George Washington's Secret Six, and then Thomas Jefferson, the Tripoli Pirates, Andrew Jackson, the Miracle of New Orleans, Sam Houston, the Alamo Avengers. And I want to move up in time. I thought, okay, here we go. Between George Floyd and everything else, we're talking about race, and it's a white hot subject right now in America, but I think you can't avoid it. So let's give some historical context to it. And that's what led me to something with the Civil War as the backdrop, but two self-made men who led us through our most difficult time, also who helped, for the record, Susan B. Anthony and others, women's rights, especially the women's right to vote, as African-Americans got their right to vote, then they got their citizenship. But at all through time, when you study the Civil War, you see these two great men emerge, and nobody would have expected anything of them. Obviously, when you look at Frederick Douglass, born a slave, never knew his family, never knew his birthday, just was determined to make something of himself. I mean, everything you hear about slavery, it's that and worse. So I'm not ducking the issue of slavery. It's America's original sin. I get it. And when I went to school, I don't know how you feel, they never soft pedaled that with me. And I went to a mostly white area. So just to say CRT, if you have a problem with CRT, if you have a challenge to the 1619 Project, that's because you don't want to go over slavery. That is just not the case. And Abraham Lincoln, the guy's in the middle of nowhere. His mom dies at 9, born in abject poverty, 1 combined year of schooling. And he's just determined to make something of himself. He has to move again and he has to pick up stakes and really work the land for his dad. He was almost like an indentured servant. His dad would actually lease him out to other farms to get additional money for his farm. And he was just had this thirst for education, loved our history, would read everything he could from the Bible to biographies to this thing called the Columbian Orator. And in the end, he would emerge as a one-term congressman, a self-taught lawyer, known as being really honest. And at the exact right time, he would emerge with this brand new party called the Republican Party. And Frederick Douglass would escape to freedom in the North, live in Rochester, upstate New York, and be an abolitionist. And with other white abolitionist leaders, become this great speaker and orator. He reminds me of the way they describe him today. I would say he's half Malcolm X, half Martin Luther King, and half Muhammad Ali. So he was funny, sarcastic, insightful, interesting, always willing to learn. And I thought, what if I told those stories in parallel, how they came together? Maybe people would say that's a different angle to a difficult time in our past, but we emerged without slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So what, because they didn't initially, I mean, they fought with each other, right? Like they didn't initially agree. So I'm assuming that your book takes us through like how they got onto the same page.
Yeah, Mark, with the thing with what you found with Lincoln is he didn't really write much about Frederick Douglass, but man, was he aware of it. Frederick Douglass's name came up with the Stephen Douglass debates. And, you know, they basically wanted to paint him as somebody who loved blacks. And he said, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they deserve freedom. And Frederick Douglass's name came up there. And they said, you were spotted with Frederick Douglass. And he says, no, I wasn't. I've never met him. But Frederick Douglass was in the audience for a couple of them, too. But Frederick Douglass expected a lot of Lincoln because Lincoln had so much promise. He was so different. And when you expect a lot from somebody, whether it's a friend or a relative, and they let you down, you take it twice as hard. I watch The Housewives. I know. So that's what Douglass, you know, he was all excited about everything that Lincoln promised. But Lincoln knew this country wasn't ready for the Emancipation Proclamation when he got to office. Seven states left before he could get to the White House. He said, let's just come back together. We'll work it out together. And Douglass says, no, you can't compromise. Slavery's wrong. We have to fight if we have to fight for get them back in, but you cannot compromise. And he had his own newspaper, and he would write that. And it was called the North Star. So he would take on Lincoln, but he was also a Republican. Lincoln was a Republican.
Right. Hmm. What book is this for you? What number book is this for you?
Seven.
Gosh. Okay.
So two sports books.
Really? Okay. And then you're planning on writing more, I'm assuming, right?
Nothing's on deck right now.
Really?
Everything was signed before the pandemic. Didn't look like I was going to get a chance to tour, but I did go to like 20 cities.
Wow.
So yeah, it's been crazy.
How do you do that, Brian? Like, I mean, because we've written one book. We've done one. I mean, I'm curious from a personal perspective and also professional perspective. I mean, you're a dad. You have what, three children? Is that right?
I don't know. I don't keep track. I'm always on tour.
Seriously, how do you do that? How are you on the air?
Well, it's definitely easier now that I'm not coaching and they're older, 18, 20, and 24.
Okay.
So it's definitely easier. What I try to do is on weekends, my thing is not to miss work.
Yeah.
So I miss about total like 3 days.
Oh my gosh. Do you sleep like ever?
Right. Yeah. Are you one of those guys that sleeps like 4 hours a night? Are you that guy?
10 to 2.
Wow. 10 to 2.
10 to 2. Are you being serious? You sleep 10 to 2?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
10 to like 2:20.
Yeah. You're not on that. Like, I need 12 hours of sleep. You're not that person.
Well, I've agreed not to live a long time. I'm going for quality, not quantity.
Yeah.
So you could say, you could actually run this tape back. Brian predicted his early demise. And maybe that could be your next book.
Well, speaking of books, I noticed on like, you know how like all the books have a blurb, and I read through the blurbs that people wrote all the nice things about your book. And what was weird to me, and you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong, I did not see Nicole Hannah-Jones telling you that this book was deemed worthy to be included in the 1619 Project. And I'm floored by that. Explain.
Yeah.
Right. And at home, if you're watching, she's being sarcastic. Just so you know, people might not know you. So yeah, so it absolutely isn't. It's the antithesis of it. And it's kind of fortunate for the book, but bad for the country, that I thought to get on podcasts like yours, I'd write an interesting angle to a history book for patriotic people. Fingers crossed it could be newsworthy. I had no idea that we'd be talking about the curriculum, the 1619 curriculum. I had no idea that American history would result in statues being taken off their pedestal. I went to the Museum of Natural History to do a shoot on police reform, and they boxed up Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh my God.
And they said, because Teddy Roosevelt was on a horse and an American Indian and an African American were standing. That made him look superior after 60, 70 years it's being taken out of New York. So now when I write about history, it's actually in the news. So that's the main reason. 1619 Project, supported by the New York Times, which is full of errors and only writes about negative things about America. And it just, we're founded on stolen land and we live off slavery.
Yeah.
That is the most cynical look. You'd accept Kim Jong-un to write that.
Yeah.
Or President Putin to write that, not somebody from the inside. And I don't mean you should have critics in America, but it should be accurate.
Yeah, it's insanity. And I think like books like yours, I think it would be so cool to have books like yours within a curriculum of high schools and whatnot. I mean, I think it'd be awesome to do that. But in this day and age, people would look at me like I have, you know, 14 heads if I said that, right?
Well, was that the order? Like, did the CRT and everything that's been happening with the statues lead you to write your book? Or were you already in progress and it just kind of happened that way?
The weird thing is Bill O'Reilly was here writing history books. And I thought, wow, I guess he's so popular, they'll buy him. And then you read them and they're fantastic.
Right.
And one, they all sell millions of copies still. So when I told him I had this George Washington spy ring that happened on Long Island, he said, what are you talking about? Because he's from Long Island, too. And I had it all written out on yellow pads. And I had all this. Here's one spy. Here's one spy. And he said, you should do the book. Just pitch it, do the book, and I'll help you out with it. And he would come in and check on me. And I, he goes, I go, I just think it would be a great movie. I looked at National Treasure with Nicolas Cage.
Yep.
And I thought, this is better. These are actually Americans that lived and died without any fame or claim, died in, and weren't discovered until 1930. That Washington said he wouldn't have won the war without him. And they wrote Invisible Ink. And I thought, this is pretty cool.
Okay, we got to take a quick break right now. And we have to talk about meat, which is one of my favorite subjects of all. One of my favorite subjects of all time is meat, especially Omaha steak. So this
that
year.
That is inappropriate.
It's not. It's not at all inappropriate, especially when we're talking about Omaha steak. So I have, as you know, a 27-year-old and a 32-year-old. My 27-year-old just got married this past August. And I had no idea what to get he and his new wife, and because they're very hard to buy for. And what better gift to give them than meat for Christmas? I got them a big package from Omaha Steaks. I had it put in one of those awesome coolers that you love so much. And then I had it gift wrapped. I put a wonderful card with it. I had it sent to their house. And I did it really around the beginning of the month of December because I wanted them to have meat like all month long. And they were so delighted by this. I mean, they were like over the moon. So excited about their meat, and they've been eating it all month long, and they're just like, so, and so I'm going to have to, like, I can't top that. Next year, I'm going to have to be buying them meat like every year now from Omaha Steaks, and they're going to be buying it all year for themselves. They're so excited. They love this. It's the greatest thing. Wonderful gift. Everybody loves it. You guys, it's a slam dunk.
Slam dunk. Yes. And all you have to do is go to omahasteaks.com, enter chicks into the search bar. It's not a promo code. You just enter the keyword into the search bar and you save over 50% when you order the perfect gift package. And that package, by the way, includes 24 entrees, including the butcher's cut top sirloins, chicken breast, franks, sides, desserts. All the fixings are in there. So when you use that keyword chicks, you will you'll not only save over 50%, like we said, you're also going to get an additional 8 Omaha Steak burgers for free. Do it today.
Greatest gift.
So, all right. So thank you very much for telling us about your book, Brian. We also want to ask, if we can, about this recent hullabaloo that included you and a couple of the other Fox News hosts and your text messages to Mark Meadows and everybody losing their absolute crap about it for no reason that I can think of. What is your response to the freak out?
Well, I was texting him. There's no doubt about it. That was those are my texts. And I text, I'll tell you, Kaylee, and I text Mark Short, the chief of staff for Mike Pence, because I'm going from TV to radio. I remember being on the air and Pete Hegseth was covering the rally. And I go, Pete, where are they? On the air, I said, Pete, where are they going? And he goes, they're going to the Capitol building. I go, well, that can't be good. You know, why are they going to the Capitol building? So I went up and do radio at 9:06. And while I'm doing it, I'm watching all hell breaking loose and I'm texting while I'm on the air. The guys, do you realize how bad this is? You know, there's other text messages there too, because I care more about the country. I go, what are you doing? And if you watch what I said on the air and I got all the sound bites, I'm outraged by what happened on January 6th. And even if some of those people were FBI agents, doesn't even matter. Even if some of them weren't Trump supporters, just created havoc, doesn't matter. They still went into the building, kicked their feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk, were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." Please, I will never, you're not going to see me defending that. And that was consistent. So I'm going to text and try to solve the problem. And in my own small way, I want to let them know from the outside, if you think this is good, you're crazy.
People are trying to say that because you sent those texts, you are somehow admitting that Trump had control over the crowd and that he was directing them, which is totally ridiculous because it's the same thing we were saying.
Well, let me ask you something, ladies. Let me ask you this. If Donald Trump Jr. is sending the same texts and he was one of the speakers, now you know candidly he had no idea. That was not the plan. I also text, you just reminded me, I texted Eric. And I go, "Eric, you got to get your dad on the phone." I go, "This is terrible." And he wrote back to me, "Those are not our people. You know our people, Brian. You've been to our rallies. These are not our people," meaning Trump people.
Yeah, yeah.
I just, the hullabaloo about it has been so over the top and so nonsensical to me. So I'm glad that you responded to that because I did not get it at all.
And there's obviously an underlying narrative there that they want to keep pushing. So, I mean, that's, yeah, I'm glad you responded to that too. Super important question. And then we got to ask you about some current events. And I know you're on a timetable here, but this is a super important question we need answered. How is it that you actually say Long Island when you're from Long Island?
Long Island.
Okay, because I've heard that it's Long Island and like the G is really pronounced. We just need to know once and for all, Brian.
I think it's a mistake. That's mockable.
Is it?
That's mockable. Long Island.
It's just,
yes.
It's just
Long Island iced tea.
All right.
That's what people want to mock.
Okay.
Long Island. So that's why I always got in my way to go Long Island.
Thank you for answering that. It was very important.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from Indiana, but I grew up in Atlanta and now I'm in Texas. But I just, just wanted to make sure that that was answered for our audience because I've heard from people that live in the New York area that it's Long Island and you pronounce the G. And I'm like, that sounds really weird. I need to ask Brian that since he's from Long Island.
Now you know. You're armed with the
exactly.
Truth.
Exactly. We ask the hard-hitting questions.
Are you going to stay? I mean, maybe this is like too personal and like I get that you work for Fox and that you're based in New York. But like, have you thought about getting the heck out of that state and moving to like freedom in Florida or Texas or wherever?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, this is where my job is. If I'm doing this job, I'd much rather be in studio. Yeah. But, I mean, the other day, there's so many people that are very supportive. There's a lot of people that are very angry and there's a lot of mentally ill. I've never seen on the streets like this before. And I've been coming here for 25 years. Same building, you know, different offices, different floors, but same building. So it has gotten a little better as normal people came back. But I think for 6-7 months, I was the only one in the city wearing a suit.
Wow.
Wow.
And there were no restaurants open. It was crazy. And now you just got to get staff.
Not according to de Blasio. He says that crime is going down. I mean, this is what he's been telling everybody. It's been going down. But I mean, do you feel like it's getting obviously worse and worse and worse?
Well, as of today, if we did this interview yesterday with this variant, now I'm getting word that we got to break up the show. We're going to be in 3 separate locations, even in the same building.
Because of Omicron? It's a cold.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
But the thing is, back to your original point, New York had a mandate. You got to wear a mask and get vaccinated to work indoors.
It's insanity.
So it's just crazy.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, I live in Texas. She's in Indiana right now. And so it's different wherever you go, right? It's like, we're not very united as the United States of America and the way that we do things. And so people will go to different places. And we talk about this all the time in our podcast where every governor needs to be like DeSantis. And not everybody can move to Florida. Not everybody can move to Texas. And I wish we would just get our proverbial crap together and be free.
That actually leads to a question. Are you willing to say right now, if you have a preference, if there was going to be a Trump versus DeSantis matchup in a primary, where are you on that? You don't think it will happen?
I say it's never going to happen. If Trump is in, the only people that would run would be Christie and maybe Mayor Governor Hogan.
Interesting.
You know, Christie's going to do it anyway. I'm friends with him, so you're not going to get to see me say anything bad about him. And he would be, I think he'd be a great president, but he has a very similar personality to Trump. Only he's a little bit more mainstream. So he will run anyway.
But you think DeSantis wouldn't even try?
No.
He wouldn't primary? No? Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Well, that's a bummer because obviously that's my guy.
She loves DeSantis. Love him. She's in love with him in every way. So yeah, it's bad.
I think he would obviously be the front runner. I mean, the more you think about it, Ivy League education, right? College baseball players, military, law degree, unbelievably successful governor, tough as nails, great family man. And the stuff that they say he doesn't have, I did a day with him and where we just went around and, you know, we went to three different stops and testing centers and everything. And we started out at the governor's mansion and they go, wow, he's not that warm. Number one, so. Number two, he's actually fine. He's just not a panderer.
Right, yeah.
He's not going to go up to someone and go, look at how great, cute that baby is. And this is the best city I've ever seen. And you are the best cops ever. He walks up and treats people like it's everyday life.
Why do you think, it's just amazing to me that there are so many Republican governors that won't do the things that he's doing. It's like you have a clear path that he's laying out for you to be a resounding success, and so few governors are doing it. Why do you think that is?
It has to be ego on their part. I think it has to be ego. And I just think that he is staying a step ahead. I mean, when those kids start landing in Jacksonville and they start being dispersed to schools and now overwhelmed, he goes, well, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to have other planes waiting there. I'm going to fly them to Delaware. And it's just like, you know, he's going to create hell and he's got to make them think twice about doing it. And that's, so I think he's very aggressive about the mandates, taking on districts that won't listen. And that thing is, it's personal choice. And what about all those people mocking him for giving people a personal choice when the numbers were going up? And now the numbers are going up here. They know the virus is deciding where it's going as if man is deciding it.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, you are so right. Well, it has been a joy talking to you.
It really has. I hope you're going to survive under Kathy Hochul's amazing leadership. Good luck with that.
Jesus. God bless you.
I'm not talking to you anymore. You're laughing at my life.
We're not. We probably.
I feel for you.
Right.
It's the laughing. It's the laughing after you say that. It's the problem.
I'm sorry.
Bye, ladies.
Thanks you.
So much. And you're not sorry.
You're not sorry. Oh my God.
I love him. Hey, you remember at the beginning of the show when we were talking about that email that we got from Chrissy in Kansas City?
I do. I can't forget it because she said hashtag balls and then hashtag Ron DeSantis and then hashtag Harry, Harry's tiny balls and then hashtag balls. So really underlying in my brain, like just in the back tucked away, I've been thinking about tiny balls and then balls the whole time.
Well, I'm so glad. But you should also think about pillows.
Always. I'm always thinking about pillows. This is why I don't sleep very well at night. Even though I'm very comfortable on my pillow, I'm always thinking about my pillow, you know?
Well, she had more. Remember how she had this idea that she was going to get towels for everybody, right? So here's her imagination talking, right? Here's what she says. I can see it now. It's Christmas morning. Everyone is gathered around the tree. The beautifully wrapped gifts are handed out to each family member. My CNN lapping family members begin to tear into their gifts to find gorgeous My Pillow towels from Mike Lindell. The utter shock on their Dem-loving, anti-freedom faces I will cherish forever. And in the true spirit of Christmas, my joy is in giving a gift knowing that my lib-loving family will end up adoring the towels, the same towels made by a freedom-loving, Trump-supporting patriot. Jesus would be proud of me.
Jesus would be proud. Jesus would be so incredibly proud. All you got to do is go to mypillow.com/chicks for 40% off of MyPillow squeezy kitten fur technology slippers and the moccasins, which are my favorite. 800-875-0513. Just use the code CHICKS. That's all you got to do.
The Three Martini Lunch has our first ever guest. Sportscaster Bob Costas joins us to discuss the intersection of woke politics and sports, the moral cloud hanging over the upcoming Winter Games in China, the state of political discourse, and more. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.